Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, this is Sherry Clark, and welcome to Courage to be Seen. This show's for anyone who longs to take charge of their life, to create more success, accomplish their dreams, and to live in inspiring ways to be powerfully visible and visibly powerful. I'll be sharing stories with you from my own career and experiences, from leading engineering teams for the last 20 years, and also from interactions I have been blessed to have with people I've met from around the world. I want to give you the tools, techniques, strategies, and inspiration so you can be the best you. You can achieve the success you desire, personally and professionally. Being authentic, confident, and empowered are the keys to success and the life that you want. You can have the courage to be seen. Hi, I'm Sherry Clark, and welcome to Courage to be Seen, the show that focuses on helping you achieve the success that you desire. I'll share with you tools and techniques, strategies and stories, so you can have more courage in your life, so you can be more authentic, more confident, and more empowered. These are the keys to you achieving the success that you desire. And today I want to talk about leadership, because I think we have a very interesting dynamic that's going on around leadership in our country and the world. So you could really start with, you know, answering the question, you know, what is leadership? How do you become a leader? And when you think about 2020 and all the experiences that we've had, has this changed, you know, what your definition of leadership is, or maybe your expectations of what leadership is? Because it really has been a fascinating year when you step back and think about it. So let's start with looking at two different, very different leadership styles, President Trump and President-elect Joe Biden. You know, they have very, very different leadership styles. And I'm not going to say one is better than the other. And in different situations, actually, each one might be, you know, a leadership style that is more successful. So if you talk about like COVID and Trump and his leadership style, he likes to focus more on the future. He doesn't really want people to worry about like today. He'd rather have people thinking about tomorrow would be better. Let's focus on that we can make things better in the future, and thinking that that's a way to help people get through this very challenging time. Versus Biden takes, you know, a little different tact. And he's more on, hey, we need to hunker down, do what it takes now, and then that will help us get through. I'm not going to say one is better than the other, but they are very different styles, and they work differently in different situations. You could also look at the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, and how he went with COVID and his leadership style at this time. I think when New York was really getting hit, and he was on, you know, TV every day, I think, you know, it was a leadership style that was needed at that time. COVID was very scary, and it kind of had the feel of he was in the trenches. You could see him tired and stressed out and weary, but he was trying to motivate, you know, people of New York that, hey, we're in this together. We're doing all we can. We're going to get through this. And it was kind of day in and day out. He had a lot of, you know, very motivating messages. And it was a leadership style needed at that time. However, he has some issues between, you know, the governor and the mayor of New York, Bill Blasio. And I don't know what their political issues between them are or what the personal issues are, but there definitely is some issues between the two. And so as time went on and there were different restrictions having to be placed in New York, sometimes between the city and the governor, they definitely were not coordinated. And they even in public, you know, counteracted and went against one another. And I think that's interesting to think about, not saying one was right or one was wrong, but when the governor really, I think, did a good job in communicating early on in COVID, allowing some of the personal issues between him and the mayor, almost like gave up all that leadership that he initially gave. And that's an interesting lesson for everyone to keep in mind, because you can build up and get a lot of credibility as a leader and get people to follow you and believe in you, but it can change in such an instant. And when there were some of the issues between the governor and the mayors, all of a sudden now, like, all that credibility that was built up just kind of went away, and it no longer had the same leadership effect it had early on. So think about the leaders in your business and that you've interacted with this year, especially around COVID. You know, did any of them change the way they led? Did they change their communication? Did they change how frequently they talked to employees or the medium that they used when everyone went virtual? Did they step up in a different way? Or maybe did they kind of step back and wait and try to understand what was going on and wait for the government to give recommendations before they communicated out different policies and procedures? In this time, you might have seen things that you think were good from a leadership standpoint, and you might have also witnessed and viewed things that, you know, were not so good and definitely not recommended at this time. I think when you go through a time of crisis, it emphasizes the need for leadership, and some of the best leaders step up. And they take advantage of that crisis as a time for to be more visible, to communicate more, to really help employees and help people, you know, get through that time. And it's when we need leadership more than ever. So I've been leading engineering teams for over 20 years now. I know it's kind of hard to believe. I tell people I must have started like when I was 12, but which is not true. But I have been leading engineering teams a long time. And it was pretty early in my career when I started leading. In fact, when I was working for the Central Intelligence Agency, they wanted me to move into a program management role and lead projects. And that early in my career, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be, you know, an engineer working on the bench and really building my foundation of engineering skills. So I went to work for a company, Bentley Nevada. There was other reasons in the bureaucracy of the government of why I left. But I remember, you know, not wanting to take on leadership that early in my career. But I went to Bentley Nevada, and it was very early in my career I started leading anyway. I guess I was destined to be a leader. Now, I don't think that you have to, either you have leadership skills or you don't. That's why we're going to talk about becoming a leader today, because I think it is something you have to work well on, and you have to grow and develop and become a leader. Now, today, I'd say I love being a leader. I love leading engineering teams. That is my passion. That is what I do. But it wasn't always that way. It was something I tried to maybe not be a leader early in my career. So let's start with talking about, you know, what are the skills that makes a good leader? I think the first one no one would disagree with, and it has to be number one, is integrity. You can't be a leader without having integrity. Now, you can lead people with ill intent and you know, malice and that type of thing, but you're not going to be a good leader, and not over time. Like, you have to have integrity. That has to be the foundation of your leadership skills. And the second one is communication. You can never, you know, stop working on communication. You could always communicate better. I think if you look at all problems, the majority of times, either they were caused by communication or they could be solved by better communication. So that's the second skill of good leaders. They have great communication skills. The third skill is being self-aware. You know, leaders are aware of how people perceive them. They are aware how they show up. And not that they're trying to be someone that they're not. It's that they are aware of, if you show up always late for a meeting, it's hard to get the respect of people, you know, in that meeting. So you want to take care of your schedule. You want to plan ahead. If the meeting's across town, you want to plan in drive time. Or even if you're having back-to-back meetings, you need to know that so you're not rushed and running from one meeting to the next. But you need to be aware of how you show up, how people perceive you as a leader. And that will help you with your leadership skills. The next skill really is, they call it learning agility. That leaders have confidence that they don't have to know all the answers, because there's no way you can know everything, but they figure things out along the way. They'll learn from the experience of what's going on. They'll try things, and then they'll make adjustments as they need. They need to be able to say, it is all figure outable. We don't have to know it right now. We have to know enough to move forward, and we're going to figure out the rest of the details as we go forward together. And then the last skill I really want to talk about is the ability to delegate. Leaders can't be the bottleneck of everything in the organization. They have to learn how to develop the people under them and that are working for them and let them take responsibility. That is one of the key parts of being a leader, really is the development of other people and let them make the decisions and help them get the job done rather than doing it yourself or be the approver of everything. You know, other characteristics you could say of leaders, and they are important, they're also the characteristics that make just good people. Things like gratitude and empathy and having respect. So those are definitely things that you need to have if you're a leader, but I also think you should be focusing on having those just to be a good person. I have some statistics that I want to share with you. The University of California research, they did a study on 50,000 people, and this was through their Corporate Leadership Council. They said that motivated employees were 31% more productive. They had three times more sales, they had three times more being more creative and 37% more sales. And the most interesting part of it was that if you have motivated employees, they're 87% less likely to quit. If you've ever tried to build up a team, you know, attrition can be one of the things that's so hard because you spend all your time hiring and trying to find good people and then training them. So if you could do something that keeps 87%, you know, less likely to quit, you should definitely be focusing on motivating employees. 70% of an employee's motivation is influenced by their manager. So it's very interesting to keep in mind. So if we talk about leaders, but then we also talk about managers, and what's really the difference? So managers is really from an org, you know, people that report to somebody. You can manage people and you can actually, though, not be a leader. And you can be a leader without having to actually manage people. So I definitely want to separate the management and the management skills from leadership. Now, a lot of times leaders do have teams. Like I have a very large team that I lead. But just because I have a lot of people that report to me doesn't make me a leader in any way. You have to have more skills and actually be motivating people to be a leader. 60% of frontline managers never receive training in their first role. That's actually a pretty scary statistic. That is one of the reasons why you can manage and have no idea what you have to do to actually lead people. That and how to motivate them. So I think you could definitely say that we need to focus on helping new managers, you know, in their role, become better leaders. So to lead, you want to connect, motivate, and inspire people. And do this, they don't have to report to you. They can report in all places in the organization, and you don't even have to be in business to be a leader. You want to connect with people so you have shared objectives, shared goals. And then you want to help people with how to act on those. Just because people have the same beliefs isn't enough to make someone a leader. You actually have to influence the behaviors and the actions of those people. You know, a lot of times when I coach people, I get a lot of people that say they want to be a leader or they want to be a manager. if they're not already, you know, managing people. And so I like to ask them, you know, why? Why do you want to manage people? Why do you want to become a leader? Is it because you want to get a promotion? They think the only way to get a raise and get a promotion in work is to start managing people. Sometimes that's true. And that's why people want to start leading teams. Some people think, well, if I had a team, then I would have more influence. Like they want to wait till they actually have the team to have the influence. And that's not the case. You actually really need to have the skills to influence people long before you ever become a manager of people. You know, some examples of leaders that, you know, aren't necessarily managers or they're not managers of people that they lead. I like to think of Tony Robbins, right? He's a coach that I have followed for many years. I've gone to some of his classes, etc. You know, he is a very motivating leader. Yes, he has businesses and he manages people and all that, but he leads people around the world. He changes lives through influence, through motivation, by helping people set goals and taking action. So it's the skills that you want to think about in terms of being a leader. Think about nonprofits. You have a lot of people volunteering for nonprofits, and they motivate people, you know, for a mission, and people donate money or they donate time to help out with whatever that mission might be, like the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, right? That there was people that led that, and it spread all around the world of people dumping buckets of ice water, you know, on over their heads. Also, another one is like the push-up challenge for mental health that you see on Facebook and various things like that. You know, people can lead and motivate people to take action, to raise awareness, to raise funds for a variety of different topics, all different leadership skills. So if you want to improve your leadership skills, don't wait to manage people. You know, look for something that you're passionate about. And how do you get involved? How do you, you know, work on helping others take action? And that will get you the leadership skills. So then one day, you know, you could lead teams if you're not doing that today. So I would like to go over some, you know, specific steps that you can take, though, if you want to become a leader, or if you are a leader or a manager and you want to improve your leadership skills. The first thing that I recommend that you do is reflect on who you look up to as a leader. You want to write down their names. And so just get out a journal, get out a piece of paper and say, you know, who are some people that you view as leaders? You know, it could be people like the president. It could be like Tony Robbins. It could be CEOs. It could be your manager. So start that list. But in addition to the kind of those normal categories that you might think of as these big leaders, these big CEOs, I challenge you to put some people in your life that have also been leaders to you. You know, maybe it's your parent or a grandparent. Maybe it might be a coach or, you know, a religious person that is at your church, a volunteer at some charity that you're involved with. Think about some of those atypical or closer to you leaders and put them on your list also. After you have the list of leaders, so take a few minutes to do that. But then once you have that list, next to each name, you know, write down the traits. Why did you put them on there? You know, what is it about them that makes you think that they're a good leader? Are they a good communicator? Or do they, you know, make you motivated, get you started to take action in different ways? Maybe because you see them doing good in the world, then you want to copy that and do good. So next to each person that you put there, list, you know, 1, 3, 5, you know, different things of the skills or the characteristics of why that you would say that they are a good leader. Now, with that, I want you to be really careful, though. If your list isn't very diverse, the skills of those people that you see having good leadership skills might not end up to be a very diverse list of leadership skills. Like an example, and they've seen this, that, you know, people at business, if they say, okay, well, these are the biggest leaders or leaders I look up to, and they list 3 or 5 different CEOs, and they all happen to be male, and then they list the characteristics, the leadership characteristics of them, they can get very masculine in terms of those leadership characteristics. That doesn't mean that those are the only leadership characteristics that are important, but the list can get skewed that way. And then sometimes women say, well, then I must not be able to be a CEO or be a leader because I don't have those very masculine traits. So I'm not saying change your list, but just be aware of, if your list isn't very diverse, you might end up with a list of characteristics that aren't very diverse. And so you just want to know that, because in reality, it doesn't matter if it's men or women, young and old, right? Leadership characteristics actually go across the gamut. And we need to be aware of if we're unintentionally having that kind of unconscious bias into our lists. So when I take then this list and think about, you know, if I want to become a better leader, I like to also think about how I like to be led. You know, what is my experience with managers and leaders in organizations that I've been in? And it's a good starting point to assess if you have the leadership skills that you want, or where can you improve them? So you take this list, and I want you to rate on the skills that you now have identified that of why you look up to these people. How are those skills, how are you reflected in them? And don't get down to really, really fine tuning. Like high, medium, or low is good enough. So do you have that skill? Maybe it's confidence or good communication. How is your confidence? How is your communication skills? If they're high, you know, mark it high. If that's an area that you could improve in, you know, maybe you want to mark it low. And this will give you a kind of a roadmap of areas that you want to focus on as you go forward. So the next step, I want to give you some specific things that you could work on. Now that you have an idea of where the areas that you need to work on, let's go over a few areas of action that you could actually take to get better as a leader. The first one, and I think it's actually probably the most important, is you really need to improve your listening skills. You need to be humble. You don't have to know all the answers. You're not expected to talk all the time. The more you can understand the people around you, what their problems are, where they're struggling, the better leader that you will be. So that's the first thing is, you know, work on improving your listening skills. And then the second thing that to work on is work on your communication skills. You need to learn to communicate in different manners. Try new things out. If you always, you know, speak verbally to people, maybe need to start doing things by video. Some people need email. Some people like text. Sometimes you need a mixture and really mix it up. Some people are best one-on-one. So work on your communication skills. You need to believe in yourself if you are a leader. You need to have that confidence that you can do it. People want to follow people that have lots of confidence. So you need to focus on that and make sure you portray that as you're trying to lead people. Another thing that you can work on to improve your leadership skills is being decisive. You need to be able to make those tough decisions. You can't hem-haw around and get everyone else's opinion and lead through committee. You want to be able to make those decisions. That doesn't mean that you always have to be right. Doesn't mean that you can't change your decision at a later date, but you need to be able to be willing to make those tough calls and make those decisions. Another thing is focus on helping others grow and develop. That's how you really become a leader. Just find out what motivates them. How can you help them out and help them accomplish their goals? Because you need to realize that as a leader, a lot of times you actually aren't the one doing the work, and you can only achieve as much success as your team does. So your success will be defined by them. So help and focus on them growing and developing. Improve your skills at how to coach others. The last thing that I will leave you with is you need to be open to contrary opinions, that you don't want to just surround yourself with people that agree with you. You want to be able to listen to the other side and the other ways of doing things. Get feedback. And when you get that feedback, don't be defensive. Don't try to explain to people why you made those decisions. Just tell them thank you. And then you can ponder the feedback and you can take it and change what you did or not. But just thank people for the feedback, because it's tough to give people feedback. So think about how, you know, you've been led this year. Think about how 2020 has changed your view on leadership, and work on these items, and you could become, you know, a stronger leader as we go into 2021. That we definitely need more leaders. We definitely need more people to step up, especially as we finish getting through this crisis. So my closing message for you is that we can only be ourselves. By embracing all of myself, I've had the courage to be seen and transform my life. I have so much more joy today than I ever have before. I invite you to check out my website, couragetobeseen.com. There you can find more about me and my coaching program. I encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. You get notifications when a new one comes up. And check me out on Facebook or Instagram. I post daily motivational messages there. So until next time, I hope you have a great holiday, and I'll see you again soon. Thanks.
Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you've been inspired to take action on at least one thing starting today. To learn more, check out couragetobeseen.com. There you'll find my blog and additional resources, including you can download a copy of 10 Ways to Live a More Courageous Life. Thanks again for listening, and make sure you tune in next time to learn additional ways to have the courage to be seen in your own life.